college football playoff rankings out, but we're going to put that on the back burner just for a moment. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray and Joe Proloff, because there was some crazy injury news. We'll get back to college football in a sec, but Proloff, turns out Shohei Ohtani's shoulder may have been a bit worse than we had imagined, and we thought it was pretty bad.
But... yeah, I was going to say, the dude was running to second base, holding his shoulder in place, and totally ineffective.
But still played, and I mean, maybe it was a little worse than even the Dodgers had originally kind of disclosed. So it was revealed on Tuesday that Ohtani has already undergone successful arthroscopic surgery on his left shoulder. It's a torn labrum that led to the shoulder dislocation, and that seems pretty big. Yet the Dodgers are saying he'll be ready for spring training.
Yeah.
The season.
So there is a thought that it's when you're a hitter, that shoulder is not quite as important as the front shoulder. Or do I have it backwards? Whatever it is, like, this is not the worst kind of injury. I'm shocked. Like, in football, a torn labrum for a quarterback is such a big deal. How can you be back out there by the season? Can you explain this to me medically, Maggie?
I mean, the shoulder bone's connected to the arm bone. I know I can't explain it medically, but my question about this is, all right, you already have him coming off of what we thought was a second Tommy John surgery, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
he's still
going to
push. Yeah, exactly. He's won the MVP. He's still going to push, I believe, to pitch and to hit. So first of all, how does that impact the rehab and in any way? It's obviously a different shoulder. I get that. But does that impact that rehab at all? Two, if you're still going to pitch and hit, you're coming off this shoulder surgery. Let's not forget how this happened in the first place. Him sliding into second. This wasn't a wear and tear thing. This was a moment that led to this torn labrum and the shoulder dislocation. So how are you going to play differently when you come back?
Yeah, you're going to steal all those bases. I would not. I'd just be a slugger.
Well, he's got to play the game as it's being played. They're begging you to steal bases now. He can't just decline.
I'm a Phillies fan, and if you get Bryce Harper, Mr. Brittle Bryce Harper, don't steal bases with that dude. I'll tell you right now, I don't want him running the bases.
Well, but Pearl, if you got to play the game you're in.
No. You got to protect your players.
Well, so you're going to have him not get himself into scoring position?
Yes. No, you're not going to run Shohei Ohtani. You don't need 60 stolen bases for Shohei Ohtani. You need his bat in the lineup fully healthy at the end of the year. Is it really that big a deal? Like, no. I know it's easy to steal bases with the new rules, but no, I do think you slow down his running. Would you? I mean, if you're the manager, I know you're saying in theory you play the game in front of you, but this is the crown jewel of Major League Baseball, let alone your team. You got to keep him healthy.
So can I tell you guys the honest truth of what came over my mind when I saw this? Manny said no. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. My first thought was, wow, thank goodness they won the first World Series with him in year one of the contract, because I don't know if he's ever going to be fully healthy again.
Well,
I hope that's not the case, because he's 30, mm-hmm. and we've got a lot of injuries stacking up here. And he's, mm-hmm. by the way, I know you think he should just be a hitter, but that's not what they're saying, at least not yet. They want him to pitch and to hit, and that's already taxing on your body. So now add into it some fluke injuries that happen in baseball, like mm-hmm. sliding into second and dislocating your shoulder. And I know the Dodgers have an all-star team. I'm just saying, thank goodness they got the first one, because they might go and win more, but I don't know if Ohtani, are we ever going to see a fully healthy season? A fully healthy season has been not the rule. It's been the exception.
But what we've seen, though, is they can go into a World Series with him at 30% and win. So I think that was why when we told us this yesterday, I was kind of like, I don't know. I feel like the Dodgers window is just going to be infinite, because they have the most money. They have the best front office. Their farm system is awesome. Like, they just know how to run a baseball team. So it feels like maybe you don't get the best of Shohei anymore. Like, maybe you don't have a 50-50 season ever again. But will they be in contention? It just feels like that seems inevitable.
They've had great teams. They've had better teams in the past that have won the World Series.
But you're forgetting one thing about MLB playoffs is it's completely erratic. I mean, and I'm being dead serious. Like, you guys can sit there and logic. Everyone said, oh, the Dodgers don't have the pitching this year. And guess what? They won with bullpen games. So, like, you do not know. I think EJ's point is they have baseline enough talent to be in the mix every year. So they're gonna be in that tumbler
of Ohtani, and it was not good enough.
But it was just a matter of time before they broke through. If you get there enough times, eventually the bingo wheel is gonna stop on you. I mean, just as a baseball GM, I really think you think of, like, I just need to make sure I get to the playoffs. What happens there is going to be somewhat random.
Let me put it a different way. We're talking about Shohei Ohtani had shoulder surgery yesterday. If Ohtani only wins one World Series, the one we just watched, because of this randomness of baseball playoffs and because maybe injuries play a factor or a roulette wheel of different reasons slash excuses you can come up with every year. If he only wins one, will the contract have been worth it?
Oh my God. Yes.
Definitely.
The other thing too is you can say that, like, I'm not going down this negative road with you. I'm thinking more like the analogy, who's the player he gets compared to historically?
Babe Ruth.
Honestly, I think we might be watching a modern-day Babe Ruth. He is the best offensive player I've seen maybe in my entire life. I mean, peak Pujols, Trout was nothing like this. Like, he is amazing. He might win 8 MVPs.
And you don't want him to pitch.
See, no, I don't want him to pitch because I want him to be Babe Ruth. It's not exactly a small goal either. I think he could just rack up MVPs because he's so good.
Yeah, but MVPs are fine. He's already got a lot of them. Aren't you in it for the World Series?
Did you say, I mean, are you actually said, and I'm going to call you out on this.
Yeah.
You said they need him to pitch because they don't have enough good pitching to win a World Series unless he does that.
Well, I'll point it back on you to say this was a crapshoot of a baseball playoffs, and even if they have good pitching next year, could that be enough? It might not be.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they need Shohei as a pitcher to get over the top. And no, I really do believe that. I think that, first of all, it's not like they don't pay enough for that staff.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, how many Cy Youngs do they have sitting there?
Lots.
Actually, I'm not sure how many.
Well, did Glass now win a Cy Young?
I don't think he's ever won a Cy Young.
He's been really good.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But here's a question, though. So the pitching put them over the top. The pitching held their own.
I mean, they averaged like 8 runs a game against your Mets.
Yeah, but the Mets also averaged like 8 runs a game against them. Those were trading blowouts.
It wasn't the pitching that put them over the top.
Manny,
it helped in the World Series.
You're the Yankee fan here, so you're seeing this from the opposite end. Not to bring up painful recent memories, but do you think that the Dodger pitching really overwhelmed the Yankees, or are you blaming a different thing for why you lost?
I think the issue was more the Yankees' inability to hit the ball. I don't think the pitching for the Dodgers was anything that the Yankees could not have defeated. I mean, the Yankees just went anemic at the wrong time. But with that said,
not giving credit for the Dodger pitching staff for that?
Not particularly. No.
I'm not either.
Not too, like, much. Not
I wasn't
too much.
Blown away. Yeah. I know. Walker,
you just thought the Yankees start swinging at everything.
More or less, they got cold at the wrong time. But I mean, regardless, you take a look at the pitching staff that the Dodgers had on the IL during that World Series. I mean, I'm kind of with Perloff. I don't know if you really need Shohei to throw the ball because I mean, you already got four starting pitchers on your IL, and you won the World Series. I'm kind of with Perloff here.
$700 million, though, just for a hitter.
Just for a hitter. But no, that's not fair to say. I mean,
well, he's got wheels now, too. Don't forget that.
He's a 3-time MVP, and we're just getting started.
Yeah, but the reason why the number got to 700 was because you thought you were kind of paying for, like, two positions
but you
combined.
Said that. Did they come out and say that, or is that something you thought?
Well, no one's made that much.
I mean, still, $700 million deferred is, what, worth 360 or something in real time? No,
I
mean,
all that money. He's not going to get the 700, but
gigantic,
still.
Gigantic bargain. It was like the Bryce Harper deal. When the Phillies signed Bryce Harper, the number was gigantic, but 320 or something, but it was over 10 years. Like, they did not overpay for Shohei Ohtani.
I'm not saying they overpaid. I'm just saying I think I thought baked into $700 million, just the eye-popping number, was because we're paying for two positions.
I did not think that because I think he's right along the value. In fact, he's probably a bargain.
Then why wouldn't Juan Soto get $700 million? He's not going to.
If Juan Soto deferred it, he could easily get it. Any team in baseball would give him that deal because $700 million deferred is not worth that much. He'll earn more, he'll get a higher value than that. He'll do better than that deal. He'll get $400-something in, like, now. If you defer the money, the value goes way down because of inflation and other things.
I agree with you. And Ohtani was willing to do that either to be a good teammate and let them sign Yamamoto, or the fact that he makes so much in endorsements.
Oh, I thought you were about to say the other thing.
Oh, because he...
Because they're going to go after that money because he's embroiled in a gambling scandal.
Oh,
so
dear.
He's like, give it to me later. I thought that was where you were...
Listen,
But no, I mean, Soto will definitely get a better contract.
Ipe's legal bills are going to be around $650 million.
Soto could get that deal without deferring the money. I mean, that guy's going to make so much money. He'll probably do 20% higher value than
Otani. Somebody's going to give it to him, too.
But
the final total is not going to look. Yes, I get that. I understand the value is higher if you don't defer the money. I totally get that economics. But he's not going to get anywhere close to the number.
Like 700?
We're not going to get a ticker, an alert that says Juan Soto signed for $700 million.
I don't think so. No. I think a player is going to get to five soon. I mean, I think Shohei probably could have gotten to five, but it's going to happen. I mean, I don't think that. No. Honestly, also to me, I think we view Shohei as a generational player beyond. Like, he is so good as a hitter that he doesn't even need to pitch to be one of like a Mount Rushmore player. He is unbelievable. Like, we're talking like in the Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio range of players to me. You bring up a good point, if he stays healthy.
Yeah, so again, that's the news yesterday. The arthroscopic shoulder surgery, which is not three words you really want strung together for anybody.
This is, to me, is a quarterback injury. Remember Drew Brees had this, and the Miami Dolphins were like, well, we're not going to risk getting a guy off a labrum tear. And then Colin Kaepernick had a terrible labrum tear, and he never played the same. I mean, he got involved, and obviously that story became much bigger.
Yeah.
So this is a big injury. It's no joke. You know what? My former boss, Dan Patrick, had this surgery.
Oh, really?
He's like, it hurts.
Old football injury for Dan?
Yeah, he had shoulder surgery. Like, this is like, and he was in real agony over it. It's like, this hurts so much all the time.
I didn't get the surgery when I probably should have, because of just the rehab and the recovery is a lot.
Well, now you're on a first name basis with every rehab. But now that you've been through a bad injury, when you tore up your knee when we were playing kickball at Deion Dawkins' charity event, now would you get the surgery knowing, like, hey, I can do this?
Oh, definitely. Now I would have got the surgery. I always regret not getting it. But, like, the doc, my orthopedist at the time, was real. He was like, hey, this is, standard, but it's a tough period, you know?
I think Marco Belletti also has a tear in his labrum that he never got rectified. Yeah,
love Marco. Again, they say he's going to be ready for spring training. I went back and read it. I thought it said the season. No, they're saying spring training.
And this is one of those injuries that I would, you'll be in much better shape once you get the surgery, but it's not like this is, oh, you get it and then you're done. There are plenty of people who still have issues with their shoulders moving forward. So it's very dicey. You know, it's not something you want to hear if you're a Dodger fan. I still can't believe he played a baseball game in the World Series facing 95, 100 mile an hour fastballs with a torn labrum.
He played two games.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think it's one of the tough guy feats I've ever seen. I mean, I think I'm being serious.
It's kind of like Emmitt putting his shoulder back in place and getting out there.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, but he was so bad, though.
I know, but
that kind of takes away, like, Emmitt Smith had a serious shoulder injury and went and kicked butt.
But it almost does remind me a little bit like Willis Reed, right? Willis Reed scored 4 points in the game, but, like, him being out there alone was just, like, the inspiration.
Did we have that exact debate? Does Shohei Ohtani belong in the Willis Reed? And who was the other player?
No, we were talking about Freddie Freeman.
Well, it's about Freeman.
Freddie Freeman, and right.
Gibson.
Right.
But I think maybe Shohei was the real Gibson. You know,
He didn't hit the homer, though.
The other, I'm reading the story today. I did not remember this. So Cody Bellinger had the same exact injury, except he got his celebrating the World Series.
Oh, I remember that.
Because Kiki Hernandez hugged him too hard and he tore his labrum. Yeah. That's bad. Now, that is bad.
I'll say that is a...
That sounds made up. Someone could hug you so hard?
Well, there
must have been an awkward angle or something.
Do you remember when Martin Gramatica was celebrating a field goal and...
Oh, Edwin Diaz was celebrating World Baseball Classic and messed up his entire leg.
Yeah, same injury I had.
I'm not betting against Shohei. I think, like, the fact that he was injured last year and this became the first, like, was it 50-50 or 60-60?
50-50 last year.
Yeah. I mean, he is a unique athlete. I'm really excited to see him come back from this. The other thing, too, is Bryce Harper and him both... Guys coming back from Tommy John who aren't pitchers, like, they're doing it so fast right now. What is going on with that surgery, Dr. Maggie?
It's just different for hitters. But Shohei's not just a hitter. I'd like to know from people, if Shohei only wins one World Series, is that enough? Manny's shaking your head. I'm with you. You can't do the Mickey Mantle thing and then say, oh, well, one.
Especially when you deferred all that money to make sure that you have more reinforcements around you.
But he's one for one in L.A. Like, what makes you think he's not going to win a bunch more?
Well, I don't have any reason to believe that they're not going to. I think that the Dodgers are geared up for a dynasty here. But, I mean, if they only end up getting one, I think it's kind of a failed experiment. I mean,
you said yourself, Pearl. Yeah. It's a crapshoot.
What if he wins five? What if he wins four more MVPs? There's no way you could say.
Just one title?
Yeah.
Sounds like Alex Rodriguez. How is he looked upon right here in this city?
I think baseball is not football. It's not basketball. People can distinguish between individual achievement and titles.
Because
it's very, very hard. Baseball is a very individualistic sport.
Wait, hold on one second. Someone on the line. Can I? Okay. Is this a prank call?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Oh, well, I won't put my life on it, but he has a real story.
All right. I'm going to do this. John is in Boise, which we love. We love you, Boise. And it says here on my screen, hugs can lead to injuries. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, you were saying that, you know, the hug sounded, you know, like it was a made-up injury. A couple years ago, I hugged my wife so hard, and I didn't mean to, but I displaced two of her ribs, and it took almost a full year for that to heal.
Oh,
and I still feel so bad to this day.
John, wait a minute. Displaced two of her ribs. Can I ask, if it's not too personal, why were you hugging so hard? Like, what was the good news you got, or what was the moment?
I don't know. I think I just had got home from work, was happy to see her, you know, missed her because it was a long-ass day. And I gave her this big old hug, and she's this tiny little thing, and I wrapped my arms around her arms and gave her a big squeeze, and she goes, ow! And we ended up going to the doctor, and I separated two of her ribs.
Oh, my gosh.
John, did you give her a body shot, an uppercut to the body before giving her a hug?
Oh, my goodness.
I should have, with the left hook follow.
Well, weird, John. You know, I hate to be around you if you guys got good news. Like, heaven forbid you win the lottery. Her head's going to pop off.
I know. Anyway, but yeah, it's not a made-up injury, so it happens.
Man, is your wife okay?
She is great now, but it took almost seriously a full year for that to heal.
John, thank you for the call. Wow.
That's not good.
No.
I was kind of wondering, like, if his wife was very small, right?
That's what he said. He said she's tiny.
Yeah, because that's how that would happen.
But just a regular day coming home from work?
Can you imagine how they would react if Boise State beat Ohio State in the college football playoff or something?
Hosting that game if the...
I'd be at the stadium.
Yeah, right. If the playoffs started today.
Is there any sporting victory or moment that could happen where you would be okay with living with an injury?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Bills win a Super Bowl.
Totally.
Maggie?
Yeah.
If
Maggie would cut off a finger Ronnie Lott style.
I'd think about it. I might.
Would you get a face tattoo, like a big Mike Tyson style face tattoo?
No.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, it's nothing that'd be permanent, I think, is probably the line for a lot of people.
By the way.
No, I mean, if I like injured myself, not permanently, but celebrating a Bills win, yeah, the Bills win is forever.
Yeah.
Oh, my body will heal.
I love the teams I love, but if you told me at like, I'm only like, for example, the Jets going to Super Bowl because I tore my patellar tendon, I would be like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's rough.
If it was a simple MCL tear and you were bad, or meniscus, would you have done it? You just had a bad
maybe.
One.
Yeah, like maybe it was a little, honestly, maybe it was a little less.
Yeah, your injury was
Your whole summer got wiped out.
Your injury
for
was
the Jets?
I mean, I'm going to be doing rehab for like a year.
Doing that for the Jets?
Yeah, by the way, Knicks, you do it. There's an MLB insider who says that Juan Soto is going to get up to $650 million, by the way.
Is his name Schmatch Boris?
Nope. It's a... I don't know. This is at Pete the Body. Pete Pilotti Jr. says the Mets should sign him 13 years, $650 million.
But apparently, a lot of MLB insiders should be weighing in on Juan Soto numbers. Yeah. Pete Pilotti.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of insiders say he might get to six.
I'm a great time.
Yeah. So that $700 million is going to look like the greatest bargain in the history of sports in about 3 weeks.
855-212-4227. There you go. Little update on Shohei Ohtani, the shoulder surgery. And the question off of that, just a hypothetical, the Dodgers only win one World Series with Shohei. Will that be enough? Coming up, I thought this was alarming. I think it's behavior that should, quite frankly, be knocked off immediately. We'll tell you what it is next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. It's getting real in Colorado. Like, we're thinking playoffs possibly. What is that crazy Uncle Dion up to now?
You mean Coach Prime?
He's America's uncle in a sense. That, like, I feel like everybody kind of feels like we're, you know, part of the Dion Sanders crowd. In the sense of, like, I can see
Shannon Sharp is everybody's uncle.
Yeah, kind of. But, like, I feel like Dion is not, Dion sort of, all his players feel like, and the people he recruits, he feels like, yo, you're part of the family.
Well, definitely.
Like, and the fans, too. You're part of the Dion kind of family.
Definitely Travis Hunter, because
right.
He literally lives with Dion.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And that leads us to our daily Dion. So, Colorado last week, was it the bye last week, right? They have a bye last week? Yeah, right. So, they're on their bye. So, you saw Travis Hunter was doing some rounds on some pregame shows and stuff like that, which is fine. Totally cool. So Dion is telling a story, though, about Travis Hunter late at night on the property on a four-wheeler.
Funny thing to me, I just saw him. It had to be 1 o'clock in the morning. He riding four-wheelers around the property, just... And I'm just hearing this, like, thinking to myself, you better not fall off this darn four-wheeler. The whole country is going to be at my throat if you fall off this four-wheeler. But the four-wheeler just give off the sound that it's going faster than it was, because he knows better.
Yeah, I'd probably get off the four-wheeler. I'm not trying to tell somebody how to live their life, but there is so much money at stake for this young man. And I'm not saying never ride a four-wheeler again. I would just say maybe from now until April. Maybe stay off the four-wheelers. Here's more from Sanders saying Hunter was out late at the shooting range on the property, but then he said he was surprised because he was just up in the morning like fresh as a daisy for all these pregame shows.
Then next thing I know, you know, we got a shooting range. We do things, and he's pop, pop, pop. I'm hearing all that. Like, then I'm thinking my mama's going to go crazy because she's trying to sleep. But then I'm thinking, well, my mama can't hear like she used to hear, so she probably can't even hear it. I'm thinking all these thoughts are going to my head.
Dion's house sounds like Billy Madison's or something. I mean, you got four-wheelers, you got a shooting range, the yeah. Clowns, the circus. Like, it sounds very fun, I guess, to be at Dion's. But
and, I mean, Colorado, like, you have room to do all that out there. That's awesome.
Totally.
That whole speech is a good recruiting tool. Like, come to Colorado, you can live here and drive four-wheelers and go to the shooting range.
So, last one from Dion. He didn't even realize until a day later that, you know, Travis was up late doing all this stuff on the same day that he was doing a lot of media.
I wake up and see him on television. I just bust out laughing. Like, you just left. Like, when did you leave? Like, I didn't even know he was going to make the rounds that early. But we know we have a private airport, I think, 15 minutes from the crib. And he must have got up. He had to only sleep on the plane. There's no way. And I'm sitting there thinking, only Travis has that type of energy that he could go all day like that and go city to city. I think he was in like 4 different cities in one day.
Tight ship Dion's running over there. No,
is that true?
Here's the thing. This is not the kind of stuff that I want out before the pre-draft process when they basically go through your entire life with a fine-tooth comb.
No.
He's not doing anything wrong. It's just four-wheelers late at night. Like, this is how accidents happen. And with, again, all this money at stake, I'd probably keep it a little low key.
Yeah, it's hard to but think about it. this is a young man. Like, good luck telling a college kid to keep it low key. First of all, pick up basketball is the most dangerous thing to any football player. But
100%.
Yeah, you can't tell these, you know, this is fun. This is Dion. Like, this is there is a joy to this Colorado program because Shador seems completely oblivious to anything. He just goes out there and slings that football, and Travis also. So I kind of like it. I like the vibe they're creating.
Well, that's fine, but I'm trying to think about investing in an asset. And this happened actually with a player for the New York Giants on their bye week last year. He was riding a four-wheeler in Costa Rica or whatever it was. Manny Bogish, help me out with this. And he got hurt. Was this 2 years ago?
You're talking about David McKinney?
Yes, Xavier McKinney. who's no longer on the team. He's now on the Packers being awesome. But still, it hurt his team. The other part about this is, yeah.
Come on.
He's so close to possibly winning the Heisman. Like, this is the part of it where it's like, yeah, I know you're a young person. You want to do what you want to do. But also, you're not just like any other young person. But you've got this moment in front of you.
You have this special vibe with the Dion-ness of it all. You can't be halfway there. You can't all of a sudden put him in bubble wrap. Like, this is the brashest program and the brashest football player of all time, Deion Sanders. Like, you can't all of a sudden be careful.
Wait, hold on. Didn't we have the story that came out a week ago? EJ, I think you put it in our doc, but we never talked about it. Jalen Hurts was on a golf outing with...
Yeah, with Barack Obama.
Saquon Barkley was there, too. I think Jeffrey Lurie.
Who's up, right?
Yeah, Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts couldn't play because it's in his contract that he can't play golf, let alone ski, skateboard, scuba dive, you know, jump out of an airplane, whatever. Again, like, this is going to be Travis Hunter's reality soon.
That's so weird, too, because most athletes play golf more than they practice their actual sport.
Yeah, I love that Jalen Hurts' agent, like, come on, Nicole, what's going on here?
I mean, obviously, Saquon, who's more injury prone than even Jalen Hurts, was out there swinging that thing. But... Yeah, no, I think, Maggie, you know college kids. Do you think you could keep him off a four-wheeler? Like, come on.
Well, I don't think it's too much to ask. Hey, stay off a four-wheeler. It's not like, it shouldn't be, I don't think that's that much of inconvenience.
Really, if we're really talking about the draft, like, shut him down, Nick Bosa style. Like, that's what he really should
do. That could be on the table, by the way.
I don't think so.
Hold on. Yeah. Have you ever driven a four-wheeler?
No.
Okay.
But it's not, it's not like you're taking your life in your hand by going on a four-wheeler.
Well, I mean, I've definitely... Listen, I had the privilege and pleasure of interviewing Amy Van Dyken before, who is a gold medalist swimmer who actually is now a paraplegic, because she did get hurt on a four-wheeler. But that's besides the point. That's obviously the most extreme example. But I've ridden on one myself. They're easy to just lose control of if you're going too fast.
Right.
So, anyway, sorry to bring it down to that. Bogish has headlines for us. Hi.
Hello again, guys. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Focus. Ohio State, Boise State, Texas, Alabama, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Tennessee, Indiana, all on campus. Those will be the first-round matchups in our new 12-team college football playoff. Based on last night's initial reveal of the committee's top 25, Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and BYU would be getting first-round byes. All told, the Big Ten and SEC each had four schools apiece in the top 12. Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy apologized yesterday from Monday's comments, lowlighted by saying complaining fans, quote, can't pay their own bills. Gundy is not handling a six-game losing streak well. His social media apology said he did not intend to insult anyone, but I'm not sure what else you could be doing with those comments.
He's got this lifetime contract, right?
I guess.
I think it's getting dicey over there.
Yeah, he's got to win games.
Yeah, I think he's getting dicey over there. That is, you want to talk about an alumni base that has unlimited money? Oklahoma State. They will let that guy.
Is he still with us?
If he's not, his money is.
Yeah, I think the money is not bad, even if he's not around. But they will get rid of him in a second.
Well, I don't know. I feel like he's an institution.
That's what I'm saying. He seems like Supreme Court. Like, this is a lifetime appointment.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But, yeah, I'm with Maggie. Like, it doesn't feel like... doesn't feel right that he would not be the coach there.
I think this is like for Oklahoma State, I think this is going to go down as one of the all-time disappointing seasons there. Like, yeah,
was there a preseason ranking, like 17?
Yeah.
Right, but Allie Gordon, it was a down. Yeah. That might have been the number one ranking in the Big 12. I mean, you had Allie Gordon, Heisman candidate. I don't know what happened to him this year. It just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, and he had a lot of issues on and off the field.
Right, exactly. The team has not played well. Gundy's putting his foot in his mouth. It seems like every week. We kind of forgot about the stuff he was saying earlier this year. Like, the QR code. Like, this is right. Bad.
Oh my gosh, the QR code.
Terrible season for Oklahoma State.
I mean, they're last. They don't have a win in the conference.
They're terrible. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's getting dicey. I'm not saying maybe this year is the year, but he can't do this again. And then throwing the fans under the bus? I don't know.
There've been much higher ranked Oklahoma State teams. I mean, they've been under him. They've been top 10. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
like, multiple
for sure.
times.
And he's been a good coach. It just feels like they're kind of in this. They're in this weird state. They're in no man's land, right? Like, they're just, maybe they've always been, and to be fair, but I think there was an expectation that Gundy could get them maybe to at least that, especially once all the big dogs left the Big 12. And now they're last place. They can't win a game.
It's but, I mean, this weird. Is like, I'm looking at his ranking. Like, he's ended up, like, every year has been successful, but this year is bad. You're right. But he's had a lot of consistent success. I mean, he's leaving the Big, anyway. Yeah, I think he's fine. I'm on Team Gundy.
Well, I won't go far as say that.
You're on Team Gundy fire.
I'm on Team Gundy stays there. Like, look, like, this is really, you're right, it's been a bad year.
They don't have the stones to fire him.
But, like, honestly, like,
two double-digit win seasons in 7 years, that doesn't, I don't think that keeps you around, given
they've
the money
they had two double-digit win seasons out of the last 4 years.
No, but there was a stretch. He was winning almost double-digit wins every year.
Yeah, they,
well, see, that's the thing. This is where the 12-team college football playoff, this is where fan bases probably like Oklahoma State are thinking, oh, we're a lock. And especially with Texas and Oklahoma leaving. It's like, we're a lock now, and we're going to take care of this, and now you're not.
For some programs, it adds more pressure. For other coaches like Callan DeBoer in Alabama, it helps him because he'll probably get into that playoff, probably, if they beat LSU. So you're right. But if you're a marginal team,
like
there's
the
more
Ole Misses
pressure.
And stuff like that, yeah. Definitely.
Well, yes. Is Ole Miss, like, is there's never been pressure for a team like Ole Miss to make a playoff. Like, that's never been a thing. I don't even know now. I mean, would they fire Lane? No way. I think they're
they won't fire Lane, but
they're still lucky to have Lane Kiffin.
I think LSU would might be another one who thinks they should make it every single year.
The Lane Kiffins, the James Franklins, the Mike Gundys, their coaching status is going to be very fascinating in the next few years. Because there was
institutions.
There's an expectation that those guys would really never win a national championship, so I think they were fine with just winning 10 games or whatever.
Yeah.
But like now that there's a playoff, if they like stop making it or losing the first round every year, like now, again, that football NFL pressure you have with coaches going to the playoffs, losing or just missing playoffs, that starts to creep into college football.
I think Lincoln
really
Riley would have been one of those guys.
Riley, absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking at, you know, Matt Rhule's early on, but like how long is it going to be there before they're like, hey, where's the playoff appearances?
Well, yeah, or let alone a winning season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but or like are those guys closer to Kirk Ferentz who are just going to be there
right
till the end of time?
I know.
Because there was never any pressure on Iowa to do anything. And now, so that is an interesting repercussion of the 12-team playoff. But I don't know. This Prescott firing Mike Gundy? It doesn't sound right to me. I hear what you're saying.
Joel Embiid's season debut delayed even more by a 3-game suspension from the league for shoving a newspaper columnist in the Sixers locker room last weekend. Embiid had been mad for days at Marcus Hayes for using his son's and late brother's names in a column criticizing Embiid. Jaylen Brown.
I saw that someone said that the real punishment should have been to make him play 3 games.
That
in
was
a row.
Good tweet. I saw that too.
Yeah. Suspending him, that just really plays right into the Sixers' strategy of not playing him ever, anyways.
Hey, that's my team you're talking about.
Jaylen Brown will miss a third straight sure. Celtics game tonight because of a right hip issue. Spurs forward Jeremy Sochan headed for surgery for a broken left thumb. No timetable for his return.
Also, I'm sorry to interrupt you yet again. Greg Popovich?
Yeah, I know.
This is serious now?
Yeah.
That's what Sham said yesterday.
They're not disclosing what it is, obviously. It's none of our business. But first of all, obviously, hoping that he gets better.
For sure.
And I was thinking about this. I'm like, man, if he just, let's say he has to step back from coaching. You know, hopefully he makes a recovery. But say coaching is not on the table anymore. Wembanyama? What's the plan? To keep developing him? I know he was still an older gentleman.
Yeah,
what
was the plan originally? I mean, Wemby was obviously going to outplay Greg Popovich by 15 years anyway.
I know, but you thought maybe you'd have him for the first five?
I think the Spurs, I mean, part of me doesn't want to go there because I hope Pop comes back. But I do think that the development of Wembanyama, I think, is attractive for a lot of coaches. And I'm curious in terms, and Popovich has been very, very protective of the system he's put in place. I wonder what that system looks like when he's not coaching anymore.
Well, he's got a great coaching tree.
He does, but I mean, look at what the Spurs have been for the last now a little while.
Yeah,
like one of the worst teams in the NBA. So I wonder kind of just the future of the Spurs and kind of Wembanyama's development, if it looks entirely different from whatever Pop and that team was going to be planning for him.
Well, who are the names that they throw out? Becky Hammon. Not Duncan, really, but like who is
Budenholzer
the
Budenholzer was
yeah.
one of his.
Yeah. Yeah, like so. Will Popovich have some say who gets to replace him? Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's like hand-picking Coach K style, right?
Yeah,
I think Becky Hammon left because I don't know why she left, but it felt like she felt like she wasn't going to be the one.
Yeah, she wasn't going to be the one. So I wonder who the one. It's not this guy Mitch Robinson, is it?
No.
What if it's Tim Duncan?
But I think they said it's not Duncan. I think there was some reporting, like, I don't know, that he didn't really take off as an assistant. Monty Williams, too?
I mean, he's had some now. I mean, that last... Yeah. His name is just really low in terms of just the coaching circles because of what happened in Detroit.
How about Steve Kerr doing a little Phil Jackson and have a second life?
That would be interesting.
That's interesting.
I don't know why Steve Kerr would... Actually, yeah. But what? Is that interesting? Would that be weak to leave when Curry's retiring? I would go join this guy. Phil Jackson style.
Yeah, it's like, well, Curry and Draymond are at the end. We already got rid of Clay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go see like, myself out. And Bob Myers did it.
Jordan's retiring. Hey, tell me about this Kobe kid. I'll coach him.
Scary, scary scene last night in St. Louis. Blues forward Dylan Holloway was hit in the neck by a puck. He finished his shift, play went on, but about a minute later, the Blues bench began yelling for help. Holloway was eventually stretchered off the ice, taken to the hospital, but was apparently fine. Head coach Drew Bannister.
That was tough. I thought we, as a group, showed a lot of fortitude in the way mentally. Being able to push through that, because the easiest thing to do is your head goes somewhere else.
The teams were sent off the ice after Holloway was treated. They finished the first period before starting the second. The Blues eventually won the game 3-2. Apparently his parents were in town, so they were at this game last night, which I guess is good and bad news because they were at least there with him right away, but they had to see this happen in person to their son. And I don't know if you guys saw, but it was really what's odd is I saw tweets about it, then I saw the video, and when you say he gets hit in the neck by the puck, I'm thinking like slap shot, like mega velocity. It's just a puck that deflects up and hits him, and he just keeps playing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they're banging on the boards asking for help, and the trainer is very oddly like holding his head still as he's kind of slumping on the bench. It was really, really scary.
Did he damage an artery or something?
No, I mean, they haven't said what any diagnosis would be, just that everything was fine as he was going to the hospital.
And he finishes shift, too?
Yeah, and he gets hit, and he kind of, like, you know, recoils. You can see him go, like, ow, basically. And then he's zooming around the house like nothing happened. He sits down. There's the camera's not on the bench anymore. So the next shot is him in distress and the trainer, like, helping him.
We should never have the question, who are the toughest athletes? It's hockey players. It's not. I know football players are very tough.
I don't know. Shohei Ohtani.
Wait, so Bogus, he's out of the woods, though, right? You're saying?
As far as everybody knows, he's fine as you can be.
I know someone who knows Clint Malachuk, who had his throat slashed in the game.
By a skate.
I mean, you're right. It's like, though, there are actually a lot of sports where now football is, you could die. Some people do die on the field in high school a lot.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's like.
I'm saying that
hockey,
when you
right.
tough out, like you play through something. Yeah, yeah. Football, you have a collision. You go, that is just beyond.
Oh,
that's
know.
Scary.
Yeah. But I mean, but the all time is the hockey goalies used to not even wear masks. That was, any of those photos are crazy.
You got to be the nuttiest professor out there to not wear a mask at a hockey game.
Yeah,
and then
they
made it worse where it's like, all right, now you're going to just look like a serial killer in one of them.
Yeah. Like our buddy.
Just make you look like crazy.
But you do get
scary.
To do the cool thing. That we had a hockey guest, our friend Nate Thompson, longtime NHL player, to take your tooth out in an interview is awesome.
Was very cool, and he did that.
He's in the media, by the way. We got to get him back on.
Yeah. I just don't want to get hit in the face with a hockey puck. Or the neck, obviously. That's way scarier. But I don't want to.
Well, let's add the fact that you're on skates on an icy surface going 95 miles an hour. Let's add that into the mix.
Well, the other part, too, is they freeze the pucks.
Yeah.
So it's not just rubber. It's frozen rubber.
Right. And again, football players do not have knives attached to their uniforms in any way as they're playing the game.
These guys are nuts. 855-212-4227. Bogus, thank you. Coming up, we've got to get to this. We thought we were reading this wrong when we first heard this news. Like, what? We'll tell you next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We had to check the date yesterday when we found out who the Raiders were hiring to shore up the the offense. Norv Turner's back in the building. Now, his son is actually the coach there, but they brought Norv Turner back Perloff. So it's a triumvirate of Norv Turner, Joe Philbin, Marvin Lewis, Tom Coughlin. It's like the who's who of 10 years ago. And for Norv, maybe a little longer.
I was so happy to spring Rob Ryan on that staff to you guys, too. It's just a complete picture. So in reality, this is all short term. It does seem like Antonio Pierce is not going to keep this job. That's the way I'm reading it.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, like they're non-competitive, really. So if that's the case, and then they're back in the coaching hunt next year, I'll tell you what I think they should do.
Tell me.
Like, I really think they should make Tom Brady the face, the CEO of this team. Like, they can't, because they're in just such a bad cycle right now. I mean, I know I'm not reinventing the wheel, but it just seems like they're getting the wrong hire again and again and again. So they got to just switch directions. Mark Davis has to give up control of that team.
Okay, so it's not a bad idea. The problem, though, with Brady taking over potentially is I think he would hire a Belichick assistant. And
that's true, but okay.
And they just don't have a great track record. I guess Bill O'Brien might at least, you know, was a playoff team with Houston. So would
he hire
him?
Well, I don't know.
Him?
I'm not so sure.
Romeo Crennel, I
guess. Tom Brady's been in the NFL for a long time. He has a lot of connections.
Bruce Arians coming back?
Well, I was just going to say, like, I don't know.
Byron Leftwich?
Maybe, that's what I was going to say.
Maybe he's secretly friends with Kyle Shanahan. I have no idea. I mean, like, I think you're selling Brady a little short that he's just going to hire Josh McDaniels.
Well, they already did that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm not so sure. I mean, but hey, what if it's Vrabel?
Maybe it's Vrabel. And they were teammates, and so that would make some sense also. I guess I've also seen this a few times where just because a person was a great player doesn't mean they're going to be a great executive.
I'm comparing him to Mark Davis.
Okay, so maybe the bar's not so high. But again, I thought Jeter was going to be really good running a baseball team. That didn't work out. I thought John Elway would be able to draft a quarterback and develop him. That didn't work out.
You drafted many bad picks over the last set. Like, the bar is just too low there. I'm just saying, honestly, I really do think just have a different voice in there. I don't care if it's even better or not. Just try something different. Like, you can't just go on to the next guy.
It's funny how much we're like, well, Brady obviously should move on from broadcasting.
That's the thing I was going to say. Is like, I mean, he's not even 2 feet in yet or ever.
We don't really know
what's going to happen with that.
He's Tom Brady. I let him do both.
They're already letting him do both.
Yeah, there are. Well,
but he
sort can
be
of.
The face of the team and also do that. It's funny that that pairs very well with our great debate question for today. We do that every Wednesday, based off the news. Last night, obviously, was the presidential election. We're asking you our sports version of who was the greatest sports executive of all time. Right now, EJ's pick of Jerry West is edging everyone out. It's a narrow vote between Jerry West and Theo Epstein.
God, I knew I was going to win this one with Billy Beane because the guy never won a title. It's a major mark on his record. But Brad Pitt, come on.
You're in last place right now.
Yeah, no, I knew it. I knew it. But do you know what? Geniuses like me and Billy Beane, we aren't appreciated till after we're gone.
And also, I don't know, we got a movie about him. my vote of Pat Riley is in third place. You can go to at Maggie and Pearl and vote. Manny, your pick of George Steinbrenner didn't make it in because it's patently ridiculous. So
No.
No, there's only four slots.
Man. Let me ask you.
And it's patently ridiculous.
If you're a Yankee fan, would you take George Steinbrenner now? Like, because I feel like I was reading the other day
that
they're saying they love Aaron Boone. Like, I think Yankee fans miss the big
Who
George.
Who loves Aaron Boone? Not the fans.
No. Cashman.
Oh yes, Cashman.
Yeah,
the fans.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, if George Steinbrenner was owning this team,
Aaron Boone probably would have been fired three times already. If
and Joe Girardi would have been back four times. Real. Yeah, Steinbrenner's an interesting one. Suspended from baseball.
He's like Jerry
getting
Jones.
Getting a notorious gambler to dig up dirt on Dave Winfield.
Like, I think that gets into Jerry Jones conversation. Is Jerry Jones a good owner or a bad owner?
There's that. And I know some people wanted to mention Jerry Jones in the chat and also on the calls. It makes me go back to the Yankees and wonder if actually Stick Michael is the guy we're not giving credit to.
He actually built the dynasty when George was suspended.
And is he the greatest sports executive?
Maybe.
Did he draft Jeter and those guys?
And didn't trade him when George probably would have. And wanted to. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, our former boss, Spike Eskin, WIP Afternoon Show, who joined us, and the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers.